Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My guest is Carol Mullins, the Associate Commissioner for the Office of Technology and Survey Processing for the Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics. Carol, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
So it's interesting, you're the Associate Commissioner, Office of Technology and Survey Processing at BLS. There's a lot going on there. So let's just talk about your job. Let's talk about how your job is similar, different than maybe your more typical bureau level CIO. I know we're not going to call you a CIO. We're going to call you the Associate Commissioner. But talk about your job.
As the Associate Commissioner, I have responsibility for all of the IT work that goes on here at the Bureau. So that covers application development, system development, operations and maintenance of those systems that support the Bureau's mission. And then I also have responsibility for the infrastructure at BLS. We have our own data center here. We maintain our own network. So I have responsibility for that, and along with that comes cyber security responsibilities, and we have a research organization as well, so all of that falls under my purview.
And then you have the survey processing piece too, right? That falls under you. Talk a little bit about what that is.
Yes, so that comes in on the application development side primarily. BLS is a data organization. We collect a lot of data, a lot of different kinds of data. And so the applications that Bureau staff use to collect those data and then to process the data, which lead to the information that appears on the BLS public website, all of that falls under my purview as well. And in addition, we have an internet data collection tool that is out on the BLS website, and that falls under my purview as well.
All right, I know we're going to talk a lot about data, the big data challenge that every agency faces, you guys more probably than many others. But before we do that, let's talk about your background a little bit. And I know you've been at BLS since 2013. Give me a little bit more. Where else have you worked, inside or out of government?
I'm a career Fed. I'm actually a trained economist. And so being the head of IT at an organization that's full of economists, that makes for a very nice mix. I can certainly relate to the economics work that's done here at the Bureau. So I started with the Department of the Navy as a research economist and moved into IT working for the Defense Finance and Accounting Service. And then I transitioned over to the IRS and worked as an executive in the IRS IT organization, running the part of the IRS IT shop that was responsible for all of the systems that process paper and electronically filed tax returns and remittances. And then I left the IRS in 2013 and came to the Bureau.
It's interesting because sometimes you hear lawyers who fall into IT. Sometimes you hear even some doctors who fall into IT. Usually you don't hear an economist who falls into IT. So when you, as you said, you worked for the Navy and then you kind of made your way to the IT world through DFAS. How did that happen? Give me a little sense, because it's always fine. The how is most interesting.
So when I was the research economist for the Department of the Navy, my organization built statistical and econometric personnel forecasting models. Most of those ran on the mainframe. And then as personal computers started to appear, then we moved to the PC world, but only kind of on the periphery. We're pretty much a mainframe shop. And it's when I went to DFAS that I really started to get in more of the IT work and less of the economics type work.
Well, this is a loaded question. Do you miss the economics work, or do you get the best of both worlds here at BLS?
I get the best of both worlds here at BLS when I sit with my fellow associate commissioners, when we meet with the commissioner and we're talking about economic type topics. I feel like I'm part of that conversation because I have the background. Haven't used it in a while, but I have the background to be able to actively participate.
It's interesting because so many people in your position who are running the technology for agencies, they sometimes come with a business background and sometimes they're strictly a technology background. And I think the ones that I've seen over the years that maybe are a little bit more successful, depending on how you measure, are the ones who understand the business side first and the IT side second. Is that the biggest benefit for where you sit?
I would agree. And also being a data user. my research work, the work that I did for the Department of the Navy, we used a lot of data. And so I certainly bring to this job the perspective of a data user, what's valuable to a data user, how data users like to look at data, so I can mix all three of those together.
I think it's a nice best of both worlds, because imagine you, if you went to school to be an economist, you took all those classes, wrote the research papers, and you still get to use it here. Let's talk about your office a little bit. How many federal employees, how many contractors, and of course, what is your IT budget for 2016?
So I have about 425 federal staff spread across all of the IT disciplines, so application development, infrastructure, help desk support. I have about 200 contractors that support my organization across the board. Again, application development, infrastructure. Size of the portfolio that I manage, it's about $101 million in FY16. I have 27 investments that make up the BLS IT portfolio. And as far as budget goes, the infrastructure side of my organization has around $30 million, and then the application development side has around $60 million.
And the rest, I imagine, the other 10-11 million is people and contractors and other kind of support.
It's part of the IT portfolio that resides in the business side of the bureau, so not under my purview.
Obviously, nice size budget, a lot of federal staff and fewer contractors. Usually I see the flip on the other way, where you have, in your case, 400 contractors and 200 feds. Do you find that that ratio in terms of really your, I guess, so from a statistical perspective, I don't do math, so you help me out, it's a 1-to-2 ratio? Do I have that right?
It works for us. We actually, over the past 18 months or so, have federalized some positions, which is a little bit different. I mean, it brings us some continuity and stability. You know, you run the risk every time a contract comes up for recompete to have to potentially have a new vendor come on board and then spend that time to bring them up to speed. It's the right mix for us. The contractors do allow us to tap into some skill sets for a very limited period of time that we need for a particular project without investing, you know, over the long haul. So it's the right mix for us.
It's interesting, you wouldn't use this term, but you almost insourced the work. What kind of skill sets were you talking about, and how hard was it to find the people, or did you just take it from the contractors who were doing the work?
So we did not take it from the contractors. New positions were created, and all of those were competed through the normal merit systems process. All the positions were advertised on USA Jobs. So we got a nice mix of individuals from other federal agencies, individuals from the private sector who wanted to step into a federal position, and a broad skill range from individuals doing kind of high-level help desk support, networking engineers, so really a broad spectrum of skill levels and positions to fill.
Roughly how many people would you say, you know, 30, 100, give me a range if you can, and was that difficult of an ask to the Labor Department, to BLS, in terms of saying we want to bring this type of skill set back in-house, or was it a fairly easy ask for you guys in terms of to add more staff? Because a lot of times I've heard CIOs, other people in agencies say, well, we don't have the FTEs to do that.
When we federalized the positions, we had not exactly a one-for-one reduction, but close to one-for-one reduction on the contractor side. So in the total amount of staff, when you add feds and contractors together, there wasn't that big of a change. And it was intended to stabilize the staff, to get some economies of scale, and also to reduce costs.
In terms of numbers, can you give me a range?
Of the new positions, there were about 30 new positions that were created.
Very interesting. Again, I just don't hear too much about it. Years and years ago, you heard some of the competitive sourcing, but that's Bush administration, Aaron. You don't hear that much for the Obama administration. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can jump into some of your priorities. I know data will be one of them. My guest is Carol Mullins, the Associate Commissioner for the Office of Technology and Survey Processing for the Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Carol Mullins, the Associate Commissioner for the Office of Technology and Survey Processing for the Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics. Now, Carol, before break, we're kind of discussing your office, the makeup of your office, your budget, roughly about $101 million in terms of IT. So let's jump in. What are you spending that money on? What are your priorities over the next 6 or 9 months?
One of the priorities that we've been working on for a number of years here at the Bureau, and actually before I joined, was a lot of effort and focus on consolidation within the Bureau's IT organization. So that focus and drive to continue that consolidation is ongoing and will continue through the rest of this year and into FY17 as well. We're doing a lot of centralization, building some central facilities where we've consolidated all of our Oracle databases, for example, to reside in one location, a central storage facility, centralizing a lot of tools that we use. That's allowing us to reduce cost, gain some efficiencies, allows us to leverage the skills of our staff much better and maximize the use of those skills. So continuing that consolidation is a big focus for my leadership team and me. We, of course, are also focused on data. BLS is a data organization. And so we are continually looking at our infrastructure to ensure that we have sufficient capacity to store the data that the BLS programs are collecting. There's a lot of work underway in the Bureau to look at alternative sources of data, big data, data sets that are available out in the public domain. And so making sure that the BLS infrastructure is sized sufficiently to support that big data coming into the Bureau is another area of focus. In addition to the statistics that the Bureau puts out, we do a lot of research here, and a lot of that research depends very heavily on big data sets. And so ensuring that our research environment is structured in a way to allow the researchers to manipulate that data, develop models and forecasts using that data to see if it's something that we want to use for production purposes down the road, that's another big area of focus. Succession planning is also an area of focus on the people side of my organization, making sure that we're grooming the next set of leaders to step into key leadership positions in the next 1 to 5 years. A large organization, we're not getting any younger, so we have to be sure that we've got people ready to step into key leadership roles. And finally, I think the last thing that I would highlight would be a continued focus on security. We protect our data to the extreme, making sure that the confidentiality of the people who provide us their data is maintained is of paramount concern to everyone in the Bureau. So ensuring that our security infrastructure is tight, in addition to ensuring the BLS website and the security surrounding that is also tight. That's a continual focus, and we'll be looking at that and strengthening and enhancing that into FY17 and 18 and beyond.
Well, let's go back and talk about some of those priorities. There's a lot there. Obviously, we're going to spend a lot of time on data, but before we do that, let's talk about consolidation for a little bit. You talked about it's been an ongoing effort, centralization facilities around Oracle, databases, storage, tools. Give me a sense, how far along are you? What are some of the areas you're focusing on? Is, for instance, the Oracle database consolidation done, or when will it be done? Let's delve into some of those details.
The goals that my top leadership team and I have set for ourselves for FY17 is to finish the migration and consolidation of our Oracle databases, our SAS processing and WebLogic all onto the Linux operating system. For each of those three areas, we're at a different percent complete. But by the end of FY17, our target is to be 100% complete so we can migrate off of that infrastructure and reduce some costs. So that's impacting both sides of my organization, both the application side since they're the ones that have to test and make sure everything migrated successfully, and certainly the infrastructure side because they're building out that infrastructure. So that's a big one. We exceeded our targets for FY16. We've already passed them and we still have, 6 weeks left. So I'm very optimistic that we will hit that 100% goal in FY17.
It's interesting you talked about Linux. There's a lot of people using open source type of software, a lot of open source push, but you guys are actually moving very key pieces of your environment to Linux. Why Linux versus anything else?
So the simple answer would be it was underway before I started, but that's not really a good answer to it. It really makes sense for us from a stability and support model, from a cost model, and also to be in line with some of the activities that are going on at the department as well. For all of those reasons, it makes sense.
Now, are you finding enough people who know Linux who can come in and help, or at least contractor support? I'm sure there's plenty, but because of the ratio and how much you guys have around infrastructure and applications, two separate skill sets that need to work, because you can launch an infrastructure that works great, but if your applications can't run on it, then you've kind of wasted that effort. So are you finding enough people to do that?
We've not had any issues. We've got the nice blend of vendor support on both sides of the house. So when we run into a snag and it's not something that the vendor can solve or the Fed staff can solve, typically the other side can. So we've not run into any issues at this point.
Well, that's good news. Good news. Obviously, you still have a whole lot more to go, but still. One thing that you also mentioned when you talk about consolidation is there's a big push across the government around data center consolidation, and then there's the big push around cloud, right? So not only are you should move your data center out, but you should move to the cloud. Where does that fit in with this consolidation centralization effort? Is there, I know, for instance, just recently, labor, the large part of labor went to email in the cloud.
We did not move our email to the cloud. We worked very hard with the Department of Labor and their vendors to try and get to the point where we could move our email into the cloud like the rest of the department. We were not able to address a variety of issues that surfaced primarily from a security perspective related to our email, and so we were not in a position to migrate. So our email still is resident here with us at BLS. As far as data center consolidation goes, we are consolidating internally within BLS. As I mentioned, we've had some fairly significant reductions in our server footprint, reduction in electricity cooling bills as a result of virtualizing a lot of our hardware. So at the moment, we have our own data center here at the Bureau, and so we are doing consolidation kind of inside ourselves in line with what OMB has asked agencies to do.
I know because you mentioned there's a security piece to the emails, I won't ask you to get into obviously too many details, but is it a matter of because of the mission of the Bureau of Labor Statistics and the way you guys are looking at economic factors, is that where that concern comes from, that some of the information is so sensitive that there's a concern that maybe cloud-based email isn't secure enough, or is there something else going on that you're able to talk to? Again, I know there's a limit.
We take very seriously our charge to protect the confidentiality of the respondents who provide information to BLS. Some of those respondents choose to provide their information to us via email. And so maintaining the control of that email and the confidentiality of that email was one of the concerns that we had a very difficult time working through.
And I think that's kind of where I think I was going with it, understanding that the communication back and forth, you got to be aware of it's not just something that's sitting in the cloud, but the information that you guys provide, if it should get out early, is I know from years and years past, it's sometimes can cause a lot of trouble. And then the internal data center work that you guys talked about, the virtualization, are you 80% virtualized, 100% virtualized? Is that part of the goal?
Our goal is to maximize the amount that we can virtualize, just because it makes sense from a support model, from a cost perspective. We still have a ways to go but it's a activity that my infrastructure side of the house continues to work on and will continue to work on in FY17.
I'm going to skip data because I'm going to come back to it. That's a longer conversation. But let me talk about workforce for a second. Succession planning, I think it's great to hear someone in your position, an associate commissioner in the, for the Office of Technology and Survey Processing, think about the future, right? I was talking with the Social Security Administration CIO, and just recently one of the things he mentioned to me was the idea that 37% of his workforce could walk out the door in 5 years, and they're kind of looking, because Social Security, very similar to BLS, does a lot of in-house processing, application development. Do you have a sense of how many people could walk out the door today versus or over the next 5 years in terms of people retiring?
I have a significant portion of my leadership team that is eligible to retire right now. So that is my biggest concern, is the subject matter knowledge they have, as well as the leadership experience that takes a while to grow. Can't give you a percent right off the top of my head. Of course, it's much larger than I would want it to be, but it's significant enough that we need to focus on it. On the staff side, I have employees that have been here 45, 50 plus years. Their entire career has been at the Bureau. And so that subject matter knowledge we are attempting to transfer to other individuals to help us be in as good a position as possible when they do choose to leave. We are actively hiring at the entry levels. This summer, we've been very fortunate to have a number of college interns spend their summer with us working on substantive IT projects to help us hopefully grow our staff of the future and hopefully the leaders of the future sometime down the road.
One of the things about succession planning is putting that information somewhere as well, because if person X leaves, and even if they pass all that knowledge to person Y could leave. Do you have some kind of more formal knowledge management effort? We used to call it in the journalism world the beer truck memo. If you ever got hit by a beer truck, someone could pick it up and read at least your sources and your information and the hot topics.
Well, of course, all of our code is 100% completely documented, like all IT code is. We don't have an enterprise-wide formal kind of tool or process for that knowledge capture and recording. There's pockets of it in different parts of the organization, but we are working to build libraries, for lack of a better term, to help us maintain that knowledge. We do have some initiatives going on, for example, a centralized configuration management library, central source code library that we're starting up, we've been working on for the past year or so, that's going to help us as we move down the road, but those are still in the early stages.
And from a hiring perspective, it's great news when you talked about the number of college interns. Are you able to find the people to hire into the IT world? Obviously, we know just from talking to people across government, across industry, there's always too many jobs and never enough people.
For some positions, we've been very successful in being able to fill them with top-notch candidates that come in, and although they don't know the BLS culture and our nomenclature, they can hit the ground running. Some other positions, we've had a more difficult time finding qualified applicants, but we, in general, I would say, are able to bring in the people with the right skill sets that we need, right languages, right experiences, to be able to be productive fairly soon after they get on board.
Well, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we can jump into the big data question. My guest is Carol Mullins, the Associate Commissioner for the Office of Technology and Survey Processing for the Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com at 1500 a.m. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest is Carol Mullins, the Associate Commissioner for the Office of Technology and Survey Processing for the Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics. Now, Carol, before break, we're going through your priorities, and one of the big, big priorities is big data. No surprise there for the Bureau of Labor Statistics. You mentioned early on in the conversation some of your priorities around data, capacity, storage, and obviously it sounded to me like tools. So let's go through each of those, talk a little bit about what you're doing in those areas.
We have a central storage facility here at the Bureau where we keep our data. And so every year we take a good hard look at how much of that facility is being used, what's the potential growth for the upcoming fiscal year. And of course, in order to get that kind of information, we have to work very closely with the business side of the Bureau to understand what they're thinking about working on in the upcoming fiscal year so we can be sure we're sized correctly. We're doing a lot of interesting things with data. We're looking at, for example, using text readers with some of the data that we get to code that data to help reduce human error involved in that. That text reading requires tools and approaches that have not been used before in the Bureau, and so that, of course, requires IT support, both from an infrastructure perspective and from an application development side, building systems that can then take that data and use it for purposes throughout the Bureau.
Let me jump in real quick because I want to make sure we're clear. When you say a text reader, you think of text readers, OCR, right? Optical character reader. Can you help me define it?
Sure. So some of the data that the Bureau gets, for example, is a 5 or 6 word description of an accident that has occurred, an injury that has occurred to an individual. Rather than having somebody read that and then go through a big long list of codes and try to figure out what code that 5 word description matches to, we're trying to use the computer to read those words, and then by the process of learning, code that description with the correct code. And of course, it takes time. People sometimes refer to this as machine learning. That'll help us process the data quicker, process the data more accurately, and free up the resources to work on other things rather than trying to do that code mapping.
Fascinating. I think machine learning is one of those areas that, again, I think I've heard a lot about in terms of what's next in this world. How does the text reader, how does that work? I mean, in terms of how are you guys making it work?
So we do use some software here in the Bureau. We do have some applications that are currently being built with that software. We're also building some models to then see if we can extrapolate forward on the probability of having a successful match. And then we're doing some of that matching now and then circling back around and having an individual do that coding and see how is the machine doing with that coding compared to how an individual is doing it. And sometimes the machine is right, sometimes the person is right, but as time passes, the machine is getting right more often than not.
And I think in the end, that's your hope, is to make the pace of this coding happen more quickly, more accurately, and then free up the people to do really the harder work, if you will. What level is good from a machine perspective? 98%, 99%? Again, because it's a machine, there may never be 100%, but maybe you hope there is.
I don't know that we'll ever get to 100% for some of the areas where this research has really been focused. I believe the machine accuracy is up around the 95%. So it's quite high, but we're still in the early stages of it, quite a bit more work to be done, and looking at other parts of the Bureau where we're not currently using this approach to see if it's applicable there as well.
So that's one tool. I'm sure there's others. Give me a sense. You talked to storage, also capacity, other tools. What else around big data?
We are working very closely with the business side, the program areas of the Bureau, to understand what big data sources are out there and what sources they may be interested in bringing into the Bureau. Depending on the contents of that data, it may require special handling and special security practices, which then will levy additional work, but we need to know that kind of upfront rather than finding out when the data is sitting on the doorstep waiting to come in. How that data will be coming in is also important to us. Is it going to be coming via the internet? Are we BLS staff members going to go to a website and pull that data down? Is it going to be pushed to us? We're past the days of it coming in on big tapes, but we do get some data in on CDs. And so understanding that and being sure that we have the IT capability to handle the volume and the channel in which that data is coming in is another big area of focus.
It occurs to me that you're bringing a lot of data in, but you're sending in a lot of data out as well. Do you work with the business side on the external data, whether it's providing tools to citizens and businesses, or do you provide some way to ensure that that parts of BLS can communicate back to their sources?
A large portion of the information that BLS collects is out on the BLS public website. So in addition to the principal federal economic indicators that we produce and the news releases associated with those indicators, we have large data sets that are available via the website for people to use. We have an API that is out there available for data nerds or data geeks to use. We have a data finder tool on our website that will help users find the data that they're looking for. And then on the website, there's a list of phone numbers and points of contact that if somebody is looking for a piece of data and they think BLS has it, you can always call and someone will point you in the right direction.
You mentioned the API. Are you looking at building other APIs? I mean, with mobility and the move toward so much information online, is that part of your future cast, if you will?
The hope is, yes, to expand the API. The part of my organization that is responsible for Data Finder and the API is also responsible for the public website at large, as well as for the dissemination of the news releases. So their plate's pretty full. And so in the list of things to do, it's on the list. It's just a matter of getting to it.
One thing about data and really the thirst for data and the push for open data from the Obama administration, and then when you look at things like data.gov, and how has that changed your role or at least your office's efforts? You've always been a big data agency, but are you a bigger data agency now or a bigger data office now? Have you seen a change over the last couple of years?
We're putting more of our data out there on the BLS public website to make it available for whoever wants to use it. The initiatives that have come out recently haven't really changed our approach. The commissioner is very keen on maximizing the data that's out there and making it easy and available for people to use. We offer it in multiple different formats. On occasion, we will even produce special data for people upon request. So we've always been an organization full of data geeks and data nerds, and so the recent push to put more data out there and make it accessible is really just welcoming more organizations and agencies into the world that we've been in for a long time.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can jump into some other priorities, one of them obviously cybersecurity. My guest is Carol Mullins, the Associate Commissioner for the Office of Technology and Survey Processing for the Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and my guest is Carol Mullins, the Associate Commissioner for the Office of Technology and Survey Processing for the Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics. Now, Carol, we talked a lot about your priorities. Cybersecurity came up a couple times, both from a priority perspective, but also as part of, for instance, the discussion on email and cloud and data. So talk a little bit about cybersecurity. Obviously, there's some sensitivities, but tell me a little bit about how you guys are protecting BLS's systems and data. And we know that the OMB cyber sprint's about a year old. How much of a difference did that make for you guys as well as you moved down this path of protecting your systems and data?
So along with other members of the Department of Labor, we actively participated in the OMB cyber sprint last summer, focusing on all of the areas that were identified by the federal CIO. PIV card enforcement of workstations and laptops was a top priority for us, both for the staff here in Washington, D.C., as well as all of the BLS staff that are scattered across the United States collecting data from respondents outside of DC. We were focused also on the privileged users and securing the BLS systems, all of the pieces of CyberSprint. We were actively engaged in partnering with the department on a couple of the solutions and certainly reporting our status up through the department CIO. Cybersecurity and security and protection of the BLS data is of paramount concern to us here at the Bureau. We are protecting that data from the moment it comes in the door throughout all of the processing of that data that occurs here at the Bureau up to the release of information associated with the news releases for the various indicators and indices that the Bureau produces, the employment situation, the consumer price index, for example. Securing BLS workstations, computers, tablet computers that data collectors use, high priority for us, with all of the usual protections that you would find in any top-notch IT organization. We have a very structured and controlled process that we use here for adding tools and systems, processes onto our infrastructure, and that process includes a rigorous review by the cybersecurity team. We, of course, like all federal agencies, are focused on patching and addressing security vulnerabilities just as soon as the vendor community identifies them. So security starts at the very beginning, and it really never stops. It's a big area of focus for us every day, and will continue to be probably until the end of time.
One thing about the data that you guys put out on the monthly, the indexes, as you said, or the jobs data, does that require a level of security that most people maybe don't really understand?
Yes, that data is protected even more than all of the other data.
And I know just from reading up on BLS a little bit, that you guys also take it very seriously not to release it early. There's no leaks, so that means if you can talk to it, I'm not sure you can, but imagine there's some kind of read and write privileges, a back-end attribute exchange, some kind of audit logs. Do you have all those kind of tools, types of tools in place to ensure you know who's touching the data, how they're touching it, when they touched it? Because obviously what you don't want is one insider that causes a little bit of problems.
Yes. The best way to answer that question would be to say that we have a very robust set of tools and processes in place to ensure that the data are protected up until the exact moment of release.
I realize it's sensitive, so I appreciate that. Let's move off cybersecurity and talk a little bit about your relationship, obviously, with the Labor Department. There's the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, FITARA, that's being implemented. I know that Labor had some challenges with that over the last earlier part of 2016. So let's just talk about how you guys are working with Labor at large on enterprise services, governance, FITARA, those other areas.
So, of course, as part of the Department of Labor, the Bureau's IT portfolio rolls up into the department's portfolios. So we report on our 27 systems to the Labor CIO, and that then, of course, goes into OMB. We work very closely with the Chief Information Security Officer at the Department of Labor. My CISO has a very close, tight working relationship with the department's CISO. We're very tightly aligned with them and the cybersecurity requirements that the department levies. We, of course, are following those to the letter. Capital planning area is another part of the Department of Labor where my organization works very closely. We have a well-managed portfolio here, and we've been able to share some of our best practices with other parts of the department as they've worked to improve their part of the portfolio. My team actively participates with department teams and working groups on departmental initiatives, cloud email, we had talked about that before, mobile device management, unified communication activities going on at the department. We're actively engaged with the department's team. Although we're kind of separate from the department. I have to be sure that as we implement solutions here, they're not running counter to the direction the department is going. So we're very closely tied together.
Is there some sort of governance process, an internal CIO council, if you will? I know there's one CIO for labor, but this idea of people in your position who run the technology and the bureaus, you get together with Dawn Leaf, the Labor Department CIO?
Dawn has a monthly meeting called the Enterprise Implementation Committee, or EIC, where all of the agency IT heads get together with her once a month to talk about IT initiatives, projects, activities that are going on at the department. So we talk about things like the new Unified Communications Project. We talk about enterprise license agreements, a variety of topics. So that's one forum where we're all getting together and sharing information. And of course, there's the informal forums as well.
Is Fatara having a big impact on you yet? Are you able to talk a little bit about that in terms of how it's changing your role, or is at least changing the way you manage, whether you work with your CFO, your chief acquisition officer differently, or as you manage up, if you will, through the other, the department's CFO, CAO, and the like?
So some of the things that were embedded in Fatara were requirements or activities that were already in place coming from the department. For example, every year I send over to Dawn, the CIO, a list of all of the things that we intend to spend money on at the Bureau that are tied to IT. And Dawn approves that big, long list. So that's a critical piece of Fatara that was already well established prior to Fatara. Some of the other items that are in Fatara, the performance element, that's been taken care of, and I do have that in my performance plan for the current year. Some of the other pieces of Fatara, BLS has had some concerns with. The federal CIO did submit or send out a memo providing some additional guidance to departments that have a statistical agency embedded in them. And so we're hopeful that that guidance will be a way for us to work closely with Dawn and her team as we kind of move down the Fatara path.
Carol, unfortunately, we're out of time. I know we could talk longer, but we'll have to have you back on the program soon. I'd like to thank my guest, Carol Mullins, the Associate Commissioner for the Office of Technology and Survey Processing for the Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics. Carol, thank you so much.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.